Cutting off to, it's important we look at the facts.
Why? Why?
Douglas Ross is sounding pretty scared.
Because I believe in independence.
And he clapped like a seal.
Hello and welcome to another Planet Holyrood. I'm Paul Hutchin, political editor of the Daily Record. Joining me this week are John Ferguson of the Sunday Mail. We've also got Douglas Dickey from the Scottish Daily Express. So, I mean, wow, I mean, what a day. And it's only 2 p.m. In the morning, we had Hamza Youssef dumping the Greens from office, basically sacking the two Green ministers, Patrick Harvey and Lorna Slater. They have gone mental about this, and Hamza is now facing a motion of no confidence in his own leadership. So an incredible day. I got up at about 6 a.m. to start working this story because I got wind of it at about 11:30 p.m. the previous evening and couldn't raise anyone on the phone. And I think it'll be a late one for me again this evening. So, John, starting with you, what's your response to this pretty momentous development? And do you think it was inevitable?
I think it was inevitable, but it feels like many other things. The SNP or Hamza Youssef struggles to understand what is inevitable and what, and therefore the ability to do things quickly rather than wait until he looks like he's being pushed into them. I mean, it just looks like an absolute disaster today. We obviously, the Greens were going to vote on whether to stay in the government. It looks like it's taken either an understanding that that vote was likely to go against them or just internal polling, which shows just how badly this coalition is damaging the SNP's electoral chances. So he's finally got to the position where he's realised that the writing's on the wall and it needs to end today. Is that, unfortunately, that kind of looks like weakness. He's facing this no confidence vote. You have to think that if he had did this the minute he became the leader of the party and first minister, then it would have, you know, would have played out as a sign of strength rather than one of weakness.
John, is this a good day for Hamza or is it a bad day?
I think it's a bad day in terms of how this, the way this is happened, you know, it looks pretty shambolic and chaotic. I think overall it's possibly a good thing from the point of view that it's just difficult to see what the SNP were getting out of this coalition with the Greens. There were the whole slew of policies that were not only unpopular but have had to be abandoned. It's all revolved around some of the gender politics, the GRR bill, the hate crime legislation, and then it looks like the final straw has been the ditching of the Green targets. None of this stuff was making Hamza Youssef look good, and kind of got to think that he's got a better chance of getting his leadership back in the rails without them.
Dougie, if I could get your take on this development, but also, it was pretty naive of the Scottish Greens to think that for the next 4 or 5 weeks, the SNP were just going to keep their mouth shut, watch their pantomime unfold, and just let them do it.
Yeah, I mean, I think kind of political naivety and the Scottish Greens kind of go hand in hand, and that's been very much shown here. It was from the moment, you know, the members demanded a vote on this, I think this moment was inevitable. And Hamza Youssef, it's taken him a week to kind of come to this decision. And, you know, less than 48 hours ago, he was extolling the virtues of the Bute House agreement. I think it's left him looking naive as well. I don't think any party's going to come out of this particularly well. I don't think MDA will be particularly happy if the Scottish Greens, despite the growing groundswell against the Bute House agreement within his own party, if the Greens hadn't taken that action, Green members hadn't taken that action, then Humza Yousaf wouldn't, you know, probably wouldn't be in this position right now. And I think it's just, he just looks like a guy who's just seen the way the wind's blown, but it's just so late, and then he's decided to take this action. Something's happened. Obviously, he's getting wind of, you know, Ben Trait under his leadership. We've seen it with Michael Matheson as well. It was inevitable Michael Matheson was going to quit as a minister. You know, from the moment he got up in Holyrood and said, I wasn't telling the whole truth about my iPad data. And Humza just let it, you know, drag out, and he's let this drag out, albeit he's acted quicker here, but he's let it drag out for a week, where all of a sudden the SNP, who ultimately are, you know, the biggest party in Scottish politics, they've got, you know, more politicians, they've got more members, they were basically being held to ransom by the Scottish Greens, and it'd have been absolutely humiliating if the Scottish Greens had walked away from the Bute House agreement before, you know, the SNP had the chance to. But, you know, from a Green point of view as well, I don't really know what they were expecting. It'll be interesting to see. You know, Patrick Harvey said if Greens voted to end the Bute House agreement, then he would, you know, step down as leader. The Bute House agreement is over. You know, one wonders if that, you know, does that still stand? But I think basically today is a dreadful day for both parties, in all honesty, because the Greens have lost their way in, and the SNP just look completely rudderless.
Dougie, as is the way with Scottish politics, a big story develops and it becomes history within an hour, and that's probably the case with the Greens getting fired by Humza Yousaf, because it's already moved on to the motion of no confidence, which has been tabled by the Tories. Now, obviously, the Tories are going to back the no confidence motion in Humza. Labour are supporting it. The Lib Dems are supporting it. And the Greens are saying they're going to have a group meeting to decide their position. Now, if that happens, I did the numbers, you could end up with a situation of 64-64 with Alison Johnson, the PO, having the casting vote. Now, whatever way you cut it, Humza's in a bit of problem. He's in a bit of difficulty here, isn't he?
Yeah, I'm not sure, Paul, you might be able to tell me, has Ash Reagan decided how she'll vote? I mean, that Alba vote all of a sudden looks like it could be,
I'm sure that Humza's delighted that Alex Salmond has got this power over him now, but I would imagine, I wouldn't put my mortgage on it, I would imagine that the Alba MSP will vote for Humza, although that's by no means assured. If she did do that, I think it would be 64-64-1. I think the precedent is for the PO, if there's a casting vote, to vote for the status quo, which I would imagine in this case is keeping Humza in, but that's there's no law that says she has to do that. And so if the Greens do decide to back this motion of confidence, the story up until the vote is going to be whether he survives. So, you know, it's just more chaos for him.
Yeah, I mean, the first thing to say, obviously, is this vote of no confidence doesn't bring down the government. It doesn't even bring down Humza Yousaf. Humza Yousaf could continue even if he lost it. But, you know, it would be a complete lame duck First Minister, which he might already be now. Whether the Greens back it or not, I've kind of went back forward in this. When I was speaking to someone this morning, the general feeling was that the Tories weren't going to put in a no confidence motion for the simple reason, as you know, I've said this before, but you don't interrupt your enemy while they're making a mistake. And ultimately, you know, the Tories and obviously Scottish Labour would never admit this, but Humza Yousaf is a godsend to them. He really is. To pitch himself against him rather than Nicola Sturgeon is a massive bonus for these parties. So I did wonder, you know, do the Tories really want to get rid of Humza Yousaf and then, you know, potentially face the prospect of going up against a Kate Forbes government? So something's changed, and you know, in the last few hours, the Greens are so angry that, you know, they have not taken it well. They are not adhering to the Stoic school of philosophy, that's for sure, because they have come out punching. And the Tories to do this. I think it's got to be at least 64-64. It would need to go to the presiding officer for this to be in any way successful for the Tories. So they're kind of gambling on it. My gut feeling is, because of course if he wins it, if Humza Yousaf wins it, then he can legitimately turn around and say, well, you know, I still, you know, retain the confidence of Parliament in this Tory, you know, playing games, which of course, listen, it is playing games. Everything that happens in that chamber to a certain extent is playing games. And he would be able to turn around and say, well, you know, I've seen that off and I have the confidence of Parliament. So the Tories are banking a lot on it. My gut feeling is, given Patrick Harvey spent a fair bit of the day, and Borna Sweat as well, suggesting that Humza Yousaf is somehow, you know, bowed down to the right wing of his party, for the Greens to then go out and back a Tory motion in the same day, or a Tory bid to get this no confidence vote, I think that's a tough ask. But, you know, if today's proved anything, it's expect the unexpected.
John, I mean, regardless of how the motion of no confidence goes, this is a sign of the times for Humza, isn't it? I mean, every day is going to be a struggle for him. Every day is going to be a battle. Every piece of legislation he's going to be trying to cobble together some sort of majority for it. The budget's going to be a nightmare later this year, because you could probably bet that the Greens will not be swallowing the next budget, given that they had to back a council tax freeze. You know, he may think that he's turned the corner, but you know, his troubles are only just beginning.
Yeah, that's it. And something that's going to be really interesting is to find out, is he dropping the Greens and all of their policies, or is he dropping the Greens from government but retaining the same sort of policy platform? Obviously, that you can remember, there was a time when the SNP were helped along in getting legislation passed by the Conservatives during the Salmond years. So, you know, it'll be interesting whether Humza decides to plough on with the policies that are, you know, caused nothing but trouble for him, or if the strategy now will be to completely pivot to this a sort of policy platform that potentially will get some sort of support from the Tories or some of the Labour Party or whatever, you know. So, i.e., is he going to?
You can't imagine those parties, you know, throwing him a lifeline, can you? Particularly pre-general election.
No, not unless you're talking about legislation that they can't possibly object to, I guess.
John, do you think that the future of Patrick Harvey and Lorna Slater, do you think that they may be forced to resign as a result of this debacle?
Well, I mean, it looks like Patrick Harvey's has more or less said previously their positions do look quite difficult now, though I guess there isn't a huge number of people that could replace them. But Patrick Harvey seems to have as much as said that if he's out of government, then he's going to leave his job as leader of the party. And I think if he left, then Lorna Slater would probably need to go too. So it'll be interesting to see whether they decide they're going to tough it out.
What do you think, Dougie? Do you think they're for the chop?
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, there was this impression that, you know, the Lorna Slater and Patrick Harvey had huge influence in government, and I think they did, in terms of direction the government wanted to take. But ultimately, almost every policy that they've kind of put forward has been a failure. They haven't advanced the cause of the climate at all. The Scottish government was forced to back down on, you know, the gender bill, and this appears to have been something that's kind of triggered this chasm that's opened up in the past few weeks between them. The deposit return scheme is a bit of a disaster. I did find it quite ironic that the UK government gave an update on the UK-wide scheme today. I don't know if that was deliberate trolling, but timing was pretty apt.
Probably so a story that's not going to get much traction today, I would imagine.
No, no. The same way the latest independence prospectus that the Scottish Government published. I can't see that making it. I mean, it might make front page of the National, but other than that, I can't see too many people looking at their plans for justice in a hypothetical independent Scotland. But I mean, Green members obviously weren't happy with Orna Souter and Patrick Harvey anyway, or else they wouldn't have asked, you know, for this vote, because they were the representatives in government, and Green members had decided that, or potentially were going to decide that they no longer wanted to be in government. I think ultimately, you know, the Green Party, the clue's in the name, the Greens, and then when the MSP group kind of fell in line behind the SNP relating to this, you know, this changed climate target, and I think you're going to get a lot of, you know, I talk on here quite a lot about how the Greens aren't a proper environmental party because they focus so much on other issues. And ultimately, I think that's true of their, you know, their politicians. But you're still going to have plenty of members whose primary focus is on the environment. And I think when they've seen, it was quite sad to see actually this Green group kind of falling behind and back. Obviously, it was an overly ambitious target, but don't set the target, you know, if you can't make it. And I think they'll be, you know, they'll be sitting there wondering, well, you know, what's the point of all this been? What have Patrick Harvey and Orna Souter achieved for the Green, you know, for the Green movement? And you know, how's this going to play at the polls as well will be interesting. I'm utterly convinced the Greens poll about 2% in constituency votes. They've been polling about 8-9% on the whole list votes. I think a good chunk of that are SNP supporters who've kind of worked out a way to game the Holyrood system and give their second votes to the Greens. It'll be real interesting now to see just how much movement there is between the two, you know, the two parties. For a long time there, it felt like, you know, there was absolutely nothing between them. And it'll be interesting to see if, you know, a new Green leadership or the Greens feel that a new leadership is needed to you know, to further distance himself from the SNP, because, you know, until today, Patrick Harvey and Orna Souter, you know, they were quite happy to prop up Humza Yousaf in government, and, you know, now they've turned on them. That, you know, that doesn't actually look great in them. If Humza Yousaf is so useless as you're telling us he is, if he can't be trusted, then, you know, why were yous happy to back him in government?
John, is there not a case for saying that the Scottish Greens have maybe been made scapegoats in this? You know, Humza will look at his flatlining poll ratings and the fact that the SNP are down and Labour are breathing down their necks. But if you look at what John Curtis has been saying, he says that one of the big factors is simply the fact that Humza is not as popular with voters as Nicola Sturgeon was. They don't think that he is as good a leader as she was, not as strong as she was. And isn't this, you know, really down to Humza rather than the Greens?
Yeah, I think that's right. He's but I don't think anyone would argue that Humza's as polished and as competent and a political operator as Nicola Sturgeon. And on top of that, he's got this massive problem of just being this sort of self-proclaimed continuity candidate that's come in at a time where the, you know, the amount of problems that his party are facing are enormous, and there's just this sort of factor of having been in power for 17 odd years, and the fact that, you know, in the same way that the electorate are fed up now of the Tories, I think people feel like it's time for a bit of a change in Scotland. So, yeah, I mean, I think the Green deal was always going to burst at some point. I think it would have been better to have, for Humza to have, in the first day in the job, you know, said that that's done, had dumped a whole load of policies and come up with some new ones of his own. As it is, he's not. He's tried to, you know, be the continuity candidate. He's tried to keep that Green deal going. And what we've seen is a whole series of policies eventually falling, and now this deal falling, and you know, it just feels like it's that the deal with the Greens is really just part of a bigger picture of a government that's kind of in free fall now.
Let's just war game it a bit, both of you. If Humza was to fall, John, who do you think would be the most likely SNP MSP to take over?
I mean, I think that Douglas had mentioned earlier Kate Forbes is waiting in the wings. I think that she probably would go for it again if she had the opportunity, and I suspect that she would win. Now, I guess the thing that could completely change the board in this is if Humza does hang on until after a general election, and we, you know, if he hangs on until the end of a parliament, it's the Scottish parliamentary term, you could then have people like Flynn back up in Scotland potentially, and you know the everything could change completely. But I think at the moment, if Humza was to go anytime soon, I suspect that you'd probably see Kate Forbes winning, though that's not guaranteed. There could be other people that would go for the job that didn't last time round, and who knows what could happen.
Dougie, what do you think? Who do your money be on?
Yeah, I mean, obviously Kate Forbes is kind of the obvious choice. There's talk of this kind of Kate Forbes, Stephen Flynn super team, I suppose. I don't really understand how that would work. What it basically means is Kate Forbes would become SNP leader and Stephen Flynn would just keep doing the job he's doing right now. So
yeah, the power behind the throne.
Yeah, I mean, Stephen Flynn, I think, has already proven himself to be a far more effective operator than Humza in terms of you know, kind of dominating the narrative. But I think it's easier for the SNP to do that at Westminster than it is at Holyrood, where they're, you know, they face a lot more scrutiny. Obviously, what's kind of harder to predict is who might be the candidate from the other side of the party, from, you know, Humza's side, who would be those who still back Humza Yousaf. And I think what we'll actually see, you know, what we're going to see, I think we'll try and spin it as this is him proving that he's not the continuity candidate, even though he did back it slavishly during the leadership election. They'll try and say, oh no, look, you know, Humza's taking the tough decisions and he's stepping away from Nicola Sturgeon's legacy. But who would step into his shoes? The obvious one would have been Mary McCallum, but, you know, timing, she's planning taking maternity leave later this year, which I think is actually really, really good news for her, because if SNP do suffer serious losses at the election, she'll be kind of separated from that. You know, Forbes is the obvious who she's up against. Neil Gray, maybe, I think, could be one. There was talk of Jen Hegel-Ruth, but I just can't see that. And I think this is the same, you know, the same problem they had when Nicola Sturgeon stepped down. I mean, regardless of your opinions on Nicola Sturgeon's politics, she was an impressive performer. She was a talented politician. The same went, and again, regardless of what you think of the man, Alex Salmond was a heavyweight of British politics, not just Scottish politics. But, you know, we've seen that kind of dearth of quality when Nicola Sturgeon stepped down, and it's looking even starker now. It looks like, I mean, I personally think, you know, Patrick Harvey's predicting or seemed to suggest that this government isn't going to last to the end of the year. I'm inclined to agree with him. I don't maybe agree with Patrick Harvey too much, but I certainly agree with him on that. So, but it's very difficult because there doesn't seem to be a quality. And, you know, Kate Forbes comes in and she's obviously a pretty good performer, a good operator. She seems competent, but her you know, social views are completely at odds, and all her economic views are completely at odds with, you know, where the SNP have positioned themselves over the years, albeit, as we've seen last year, not necessarily at odds with, you know, all the party membership, and certainly aligned with quite a few of them. Although, you know, how many SNP members might be happy to hold their nose and vote for Kate Forbes, knowing that she's probably more likely to deliver success going forward, even if they don't necessarily agree with our views. It'll be interesting to see.
All right, I think
it's interesting as well that it's not just Mary McCallum that's planning and being off with a new baby. Hamza is as well. That looks like that could come at a particularly tricky time now.
Yeah, I think Shona Robeson will have a tough job in her hands leading that minority administration for however long Hamza's on part leave. John, just wrapping things up, good week, bad week?
So I'll go that Hamza Yousaf's clearly having an extremely bad week now with his, his government's just collapsed. He's facing a no-confidence vote. It doesn't get any worse than that. But I'll also say that, potentially, perhaps, this has actually been a good week for Hamza Yousaf because it's maybe going to be if he can make it so, it'll be the week that he turned the corner, finally became his own man, took control of his own government. If he does win this no-confidence vote, he'll get a bit of a boost from that, and maybe it can be a sort of relaunch of his government.
Yeah, absolutely. Anyone else?
Well, I'm going to give my good week, pardon me, to Kate Forbes. For many of the reasons we've just discussed, she, without really doing anything, is emerging as the likely successor to Hamza Yousaf. She has been against the Bute House Agreement. She has positioned herself against the Greens on many issues. And despite backing the Bute House Agreement during the leadership campaign, Hamza Yousaf is ultimately kind of, I don't think he's come down to her way of thinking, but he is for a variety of reasons, found himself in a position where he's fallen through on a lot of what she said she would do, but he's doing it in a way that makes him look completely incompetent. And I think Kate Forbes, she put out a message of unity today on social media, on X or Twitter, formerly Twitter. But I think behind the scenes she'll be rolling her hands in glee. Bad week. I thought I'd end with something. Well, someone a wee bit different. It's related to this. It's been a bad week for Joanna Cherry, who has obviously been a critic of the Scottish Greens, especially on gender issues. Earlier this week, again, she took to social media to suggest that she's always been against the Bute House Agreement and was calling on the SNP to end it. But a reminder of the pitfalls when you post something on Twitter and you don't delete it, it's there for everyone to find. And of course, what was unearthed was a tweet from her saying that she actually had voted for the Bute House Agreement back in 2021 after being persuaded. She later claimed that she was persuaded by a friend, but it always had reservations about it. But her original tweet was certainly didn't suggest she had any reservations about it at the time. So it was
quite enthusiastic about it.
Yes, she did. It was a bit of an embarrassment for her. So I found that quite amusing. But I'm sure she's happy now that that's taken any focus off her flip-flopping.
All right. Well, thanks for that. We've been on air for about half an hour, so who knows? Maybe when we log off, we'll find that Hamza Yousaf has resigned as First Minister and Kate Forbes has taken over. That is the fast-changing nature of Scottish politics. Well, I hope that you've enjoyed the latest episode. Thanks to John and to Dougie again. No doubt when we put out the next Planet Holyrood on Thursday, we'll be talking about this motion of no confidence and what actually happened to it. So thanks again.
It's important we look at the facts.
Why? Why?
Douglas Ross is sounding pretty scared.
I believe in independence.
And he clapped like a seal.